Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. A positive resistance that persists throughout our humanity's story. It's the resistance that will not allow the dark to take over the light completely. It is the resistance fueled with passion, goodness, truth, and benevolence. It is for the benefit of all, and never just some. So in this moment of quiet reflection, when I think I resist, what do I mean? What do I wish to not nurture? And what do I wish to encourage to make humanity's story one of victory? To think I resist will never be enough. But I know I must change my own darkness that is within me. When I can transform my own dark into light, my negative state to a positive state, fear into love, this is positive resistance. As I weed out the garden of my mind, uprooting what is no longer a healthy thought, what intention or experiences of the past that no longer serve me or others, I can feel a positive resistance moving me upward and forward. In this deep silent space of wisdom, I have the power to keep maintaining positive thoughts for the self, for everyone around me. It is in this gentle persistence that I am at peace inside. I'm able to observe the qualities needed to move out all traces of darkness into light, because I'm committed, convicted, and dedicated to a positive resistance inside, ushering through unstoppable positive changes in myself and in our world. Let me take this time to sit in the stillness and be silent. Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. That was Positive Resistance from Inclusion Revolution Together with Love by yours truly, me, Sister Jenna. I hope today finds you in a good spirit, up and about, ready for the holiday season to really hit you with a deep appreciation and gratitude for where your life is. I think it's safe to say that we could always redefine it or redesign it in a way that we think it could always be better. But I'm suspecting more and more that our better is right here. It's right at this moment. It's really here and now. And by us appreciating the good that is in our lives, you know, the real beauty that we have inherited, that it makes the smaller issues just fall to the wayside. I was sharing with Antonia, our producer, this morning that I've been observing that one particular area has become a little bit of like a thorn under my finger, and I was telling her, I have no problems with the person or their behavior, their attitude. I think one of my concerns are more in the area of, what is it with me? Why is it bothering me? It didn't bother me before. Why is it bothering me now? And so the whole journey of self-realization and self-understanding has so much to do with being really honest with where we are and what we're feeling and what we're going through. Because if we don't, we could live a life of deception for a very, very long time. And can you imagine waking up at the age of 30 or 40 or 60 or 80 and feeling like you never really lived your true call? You didn't live your true essence. You weren't fulfilling your role in life. You could have loved more. You could have been more charitable. You could have been more understanding. You could have certainly forgiven someone that perhaps just spoke to you in a way that you felt was out of order or didn't match the way that you consider yourself to be. And we tend to do that a lot. We tend to ruin our relationships over a long period of time just because we feel like people weren't nice to you. And we do have our days when we just don't rise to the call. We don't express our true spiritual gift. We don't live path of truth. And it's my wish and my aim and hope that we will be able to move into 2018 with a deeper sense of understanding of who we are, why we're here, and why we even breathe. Things are getting so crazy, and it's a craziness that's moving so fast that it's almost forcing us to be detached, forcing us to be numb, forcing us to feel paralyzed in the midst of all that's going on. It's forcing us to question our own values, our virtues, our truth. And this is where we are using this time as our opportunity to dig deeper and to go higher. This is the age to dig deeper and to go higher. This is our time now to clean out all the areas in the soul that are just not living a truthful journey. It's not living in its essence, and it's not living in its power of truth and purity. And so that's my real pure wish for 2018, that we really get to this point of realization of soul serving, self-service, being able to clean out those thoughts that percolate in the soul morning, noon, and night at every second. And to begin to be very mindful of what thoughts are useful for our destiny and what thoughts that are not. It's our age of love. It's our age of peace. It's our age of power. And speaking about love, I want to play a nice track today by MC Yogi. And the title of the track is called Give Love. He's a California-based artist and yoga teacher and musician. And I'm pretty sure everyone's going to like this track. Enjoy. Give love.
Hush, little darling, don't you cry. Every little thing's going to be all right. Don't worry, don't be afraid. Every little thing's going to be okay. Open up your heart, unlock the key. You gotta
life is living. Living is love and love is giving. When we live to love, it gives life meaning. When we live to give love, there's no greater feeling. This feeling of kindness and love's inside us. Nobody can sell this or try to buy this. Cause love is priceless and it guides us, lifts us up and ignites us. Love can bind us and remind us. Love has no limit cause love is timeless. Hate and fear will try to blind us, but love unites us. Nobody can fight this cause love is righteous. And it might just save the whole world from this global crisis. Throw your hands up, you know what the time is. Open up your heart and let it shine the brightest. Love with generosity, giving consciously and constantly. When we all give love, there's no stopping. We just open up the door and let your love pour. When you open up to love, you can never be poor. Cause there's always more inside the core. Way more restored than you can bargain for. An infinite supply for us to share. So just throw your hands up in the air. Wave them all around the atmosphere. Show the whole world how much you care. We gotta give everybody love and respect. Cause what we give what we get, come on, always remember, never forget, what we give is what we get.
Give love, give your love away, give love, don't be afraid, give love, give your love away now, give love, it'll be okay, give love away, give love away, give love away, give love, give your love away, give love, give your love away, give love.
Welcome back, everyone. That was MC Yogi, Give Love. Didn't you just love that? And speaking about MC Yogi, guess who we have on the air to have a heart-to-heart conversation today? It's MC Yogi. He's a California-based artist, yoga teacher, and musician. From living in a group home for at-risk youth to becoming known as yoga's modern-day ambassador to the West, MC Yogi is on a mission to bring good energy into the world and introduce yoga to large mainstream audiences. Now, he and his wife, Amanda, have taught yoga and performed everywhere, from headlining at festivals, nightclubs, and museums to the Forbidden City in China, and even at the White House. In 2001, MC Yogi and Amanda were named health ambassadors by then First Lady, our friend Michelle Obama, for her Let's Move initiative. MC Yogi's music style contains themes around Hindu philosophy and positive messages. When he's not on the road, MC Yogi teaches at his home studio at Point Reyes Yoga in Northern California. In his new book, Spiritual Graffiti, Finding My True Path, MC Yogi offers wisdom and inspiration for spiritual seekers in this enlightening memoir. And we are very pleased to welcome our brother, MC Yogi. Hi.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right, cool. I love your work, by the way. I don't know if you know this, but this year was the first year I produced a CD with a local hip-hop artist for meditation grooves. You've got to hear that.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
So who would have thought that meditation and hip-hop could actually make a difference in the world? Well, of course you could, because you're doing it and you're living that. You know, in your early years, you said that, you know, it was different. It was tough. You were, I would say, sometimes when we end up in juvenile hall or anything like that, it's as if we were fighting against something that we didn't feel is really our destiny, but we sometimes don't know the best way. So being kicked out of schools, going into this, getting arrested for vandalism, whole bunch of stuff, getting caught up in drugs and la-da-da-da-da. What led you, MC, to transform your life and pursue a path that was of more service?
I think music was always a part of the sort of saving grace, a thing that kind of led me to ask certain questions and question authority, question religion, question society, question myself. So the music was always like an encouraging, positive force that kind of led me to look and dig a little deeper into myself and ask myself these essential questions, like, you know, where am I going? Why am I here? What's my purpose? But I think music has that ability to help us connect to something deeper than just the thinking mind, because, you know, there's a strong feeling.
Yeah, feeling, it connects to the soul.
Yeah, it's deeper than just the, you know, just the surface world.
Right. Now, in looking back in your life, what advice would you offer today's youths who may be struggling to find their way, especially in this time where the narrative is revealing to them that you can get as ugly as you want to, or you can get as good as you want to, but your goodness doesn't necessarily get amplified in the media. Your ugliness do. So we are now seeing a generation of youths who perhaps are being raised with a conflict of values, and parents are struggling to actually guide their children on what are the best choices to make, because they're not seeing a lot of examples in mainstream media. What would you advise the youths of today?
There's nothing new, right? All the problems that we're dealing with are just a variation of a very ancient theme. You know, our struggle to go from, you know, being connected to then becoming independent and then having to sort of reintegrate that interconnection with life. But it's a natural process that we need to sort of rebel and go out and carve our own path and find our own way and leave our parents' nest and figure out who we are, find our voice. That gets expressed in all of nature. So there's always the connection and the disconnection. It's a fluctuation between the two. And the journey is, how do we navigate between these two sort of parallel experiences of being unified and then being independent? And so I don't really have any guidance or any advice for anyone. I can only share the things that sort of helped me along my path, which was the question, what part of my life, what in my life where do I experience feeling ease and joy and peace and happiness and harmony? And then just starting to investigate that, like, okay, if I'm the most happy when I'm making music or performing music or painting a mural, then that's like a tunnel. That's like a path. So see if you can pursue that a little deeper and use that as a doorway into that deeper place where we're not struggling on the surface with, you know, the anxiety, the fear, what other people think, what other people are telling us we should do. Because there's a lot of, you know, in our culture, we have a lot of people telling us what to do, from our parents to the media, religion. Everyone sort of has an idea of what's best for us. And sometimes that could be really helpful. And then sometimes it can actually get in the way.
Yeah,
and I think the best thing I've found is when you embody your dharmas and the yoga traditions, like your purpose, you know, when you're really doing your thing, what you were sent here to do, it has a power and an influence where you don't even have to tell other people what to do, but just your presence alone speaks volumes that there's another way to be in the world. Giving advice is like, you know, it's almost, it comes from a place of insecurity. Like we don't feel good about ourselves, so we're trying to control other people. And I think the best thing we can do as individuals is really ask ourselves the essential question, why am I here? What am I investing my life in? And then I think that you will discover, or at least I have, is that, you know, one candle just by staying lit has the power to light lots of other candles around you. And you don't even have to tell people to light up, because you're in that space, you're in that energy, and it's infectious and contagious.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting that you're saying that. It's like the age of walking your talk, and that's where I find myself very careful about the comments that I say about these times, because we can make judgment or criticize a narrative that we're witnessing in our government and our leadership, especially here in Washington. But the question is, have you even been anything near that? Are you that? What is the better part of the leadership that you want to represent in the country? Are you living that? Are you expressing that? You know, and I believe that point that you made, it's the age of presence. It's the age of really being authentic, that your thoughts are matching your words and your actions. What have you found that rapping and yoga actually have in common? Whenever I tell people about inclusion revolution, about meditation and hip hop, I love the expression that I get on everyone's faces, like, what? You know, and so I think they get the same with you too. What, yoga and rapping? Tell me more.
Well, you know, really, the yoga, the wisdom of the yoga tradition comes to us through poetry, through sutras and phrases and metaphor, myth, allegory, mantra. Like, it all comes through word. And so everything gets passed down. So oral tradition, word of mouth, from grandparent to grandchild. And it gets passed down, and, you know, all these teachings are sort of embedded and hidden in these stories and these myths, in these philosophies. And so really hip-hop really lends itself to that tradition, because hip hop is all about the power of coming together and expressing, you know, words and ideas and poetry and rhymes. And when you have like a cadence or a rhythm, you get into that, you know, it's like if you've ever been to a church where there's a real charismatic preacher and, you know, they get into a rhythm and it just starts to take on, like if you ever listen to Dr. Martin Luther King speak, like it takes on this energy and this momentum. And all of a sudden, a very simple idea can be communicated to a large amount of people in a very dynamic way. And hip hop is all about that energy that's designed to sort of bring people together and uplift people. Now, there's always going to be a negative, you know, side to every human endeavor. And, you know, as human beings, we like to focus in really heavily on the negativity. So it gives it more more energy, and it makes it feel like that's bigger than everything else. But that's only because of where we're focusing our attention. Hip hop itself like grew out of the Bronx as a way to really work against gang violence and bring people together in the park and have great, you know, creative sessions where there's DJs and MCs and B-boys and B-girls. So it was all about the community and the people, and that still exists. But you know, we tend to give a lot of energy to scandal and, you know, violence and hatred and anger and all that thing. So those things start to grow and take over. So, you know, as a yogi, it's important to bend your mind back toward peace and justice and love and connection and unity, and know that even in the midst, Gandhi had a great saying that even in the midst of darkness, light persists. Even though you don't see it, it's nighttime. The sun is still shining. And so that's really the awareness. And the invitation is to remember that all this is passing, and underneath all of it, love is still present.
That's such an inspiration. You know, Yoga Journal described your music as, quote-unquote, surprisingly educational, because you've made rapping about the Hindu deities, which a lot of Americans don't know much about, into, you know, learning opportunities. What's the reason behind incorporating aspects of Hinduism and positive messages in your music? Have you been to India? Did you meet someone from India? Did you bump into the Bhagavad Gita? How did you get into... Yeah, tell me.
That's a great question. And, you know, my wife Amanda and I, we've been to India many times. We'll be going back next year. We have good friends and family over there. And I think for me, I'm a student of Buddhism and Hinduism. And essentially, if you were to boil that down, it's really Dharma. It's like, you know, what is the universal truth that, you know, encompasses all these great traditions? I don't fall into one religious category, but I find inspiration in so many different places. In fact, there's a great scripture in the Hindu tradition that talks about being like a bumblebee and like extracting, you know, pollen from everywhere you go, like taking wisdom from everywhere you go and then bringing it back into the hive and really develop it and understand it and integrate it so it turns into honey. And I found that, you know, because I stumbled into yoga after living at a group home and getting into a lot of trouble and being arrested as a kid, that it created a path back into my own self, and it wasn't heavily reliant on any external gurus, even though I had great teachers along the way. Ultimately, what I realize is that that wisdom itself is the guru. Wisdom is the teacher, and, you know, our intuition. And, you know, Gandhi talks about that still quiet voice of our own conscience. And I never really was able to, like, you know, hear that voice for a long time, because I got cold and numb and cut off from myself and the world and felt just sort of, you know, broken. And when I started meditating and practicing yoga, I started to tune into that voice again. And, you know, it's like that voice of innocence, that voice of truth. And when I started to listen to that voice, I started to begin this journey that led me to things that I never could have imagined in a million years that I would experience, so much joy and so much grace and so much energy and power and beauty. It's really because I was able to just sit and be quiet and listen and go inside. And it took me a long, long time for me to be able to do that. And it's still a work in process. But the moment that I turned back in, everything changed for the better.
Wow, that's such a beautiful story. Congratulations on the release of your new book, Virtual Graffiti.
Oh, thank you.
Finding My True Path. How long did it take you to write it? And what can we expect from it?
Well, no expectations, but I think you'll enjoy. It's a fun story. It took about a year to write, and it was the first time I'd ever written a book, and it was a powerful experience, like to go and review
right.
your life like that, and to look back and to see all the things that I survived and made it through, and all the people who helped me along the way, which, you know, I really couldn't have done that if it weren't for them. There's a beautiful quote, and I'll paraphrase, from this Buddhist teacher named Thich Nhat Hanh. He says, no one can do it alone. Do you remember what that quote is, sweetie? Yeah, you have to do it by yourself. No one can do it alone.
Wow.
And to me, it's like I had to do the work. You know, I had to exert the effort and the energy and develop the will. But if it weren't for my teachers and my friends and my family, the people looking out for me, I don't think I would have made it. So, again, it's that beautiful balance of you got to do it yourself, and you need to surround yourself with a lot of people who believe in you.
Yeah, company is so important, right? So what can so it's all about you and your travels, your journey, and what's sort of taken you up. What one experience you've been through so far that really stood out for you in the book?
Well, there's so many, but the book starts standing on stage at a festival where I was performing or headlining, and there was about 10,000 kids in the crowd, and that was about... At that time, that was the biggest audience that I performed to. So I'm standing on the stage looking out at 10,000 pairs of eyes, and that's how it begins. Like, I start to reflect and trace the map, the road that led to that moment. And, you know, since that time, you know, we've traveled all around the earth performing and teaching, and, you know, I've had some really incredible experience. I keep my mantra as I always turn to my wife, and we say to each other, how could it possibly get better than this?
I love that.
The book, it does. It's amazing. And the book is sort of the journey from darkness to light, like all the things that happen in order to make it possible for me to, like, land on a yoga mat for the first time when I was 17.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, when I look at that journey, I realize that a lot of horrible things have to happen so that a lot of amazing and great, wonderful things can happen. And, it's a part of the process. Like, if you're going through a lot of difficulty right now, that just means that there's a lot of good things ahead. You got to keep going. And, you know, the book really talks about that.
Beautiful. Now, what does spiritual graffiti mean? I mean, I've been in New York. I know what graffiti looks like. But what is the spiritual graffiti? I mean, how did you come up with that?
Well, I grew up as a graffiti artist in the Bay Area. I started painting on trains and stuff when I was like, 13 or 14 years old. And so I'm an artist, and my wife is a muralist. And I know what you mean. There's a lot of really ugly graffiti in the world, but there's also a lot of beautiful street art as well. And for me, when I started to sort of reflect on my life, I realized that all these teachers had made their mark on me, and they had kind of left this, you know, the signature or this, you know, this, there were certain people that came into my life. And at the time I didn't realize, but they left this mark, and there was a legacy of love that they left that echoed in my life. And when I look back at my life, I realized that it was this beautiful sort of work of art. You know, it was messy and colorful and crazy and layered and textured. But the more I started to stand back and look at my life, the more I could see how beautiful it is. I just needed some perspective.
Mm. Have you spent time and met with some of the other rappers that are in the industry? Has there been a conversation that has emerged between you all about the kind of music that you do, the kind of rapping that you do in theirs, especially maybe some of the charged rappers that tend to speak a little bit at another level of consciousness? When you both are sitting together and maybe having a heart-to-heart, you find that everyone basically showing up with the same vibe, that they really want to do something good, even though their style might be different?
Yeah, that's true, because a lot of... A lot of artists are players. They're it's a persona. It's a character that they've developed and created to sell to the public.
Mm.
And oftentimes there's a lot of authenticity in that and sincerity. But there's also a lot of, you know, keeping up with what's popular, what's trending, what's current. So, you know, if there's a lot of sort of negativity, or maybe you grew up in a part of the world where you had to really, you know, work through a lot of that stuff. and maybe you still haven't got to the other side of it, so it's showing up in your music. You know, music is always a window into someone's soul, but there's a lot of ego in there too. And you know, to be a performing artist, you kind of need an ego. You need a healthy ego to get up and share your music and make people pay attention and care about what you're saying or doing. It takes a lot of audacity. It takes a lot of courage and confidence. And sometimes that can come from a negative ego, but you know, it can also come from a healthy ego if you feel like you have something to share that can help people or be, you know, beneficial. So, you know, I try not to judge artists too much because everyone's dealing with an internal battle and struggle, trying to find balance in their life. And I think the more, you know, we sort of weigh down on people instead of offering empathy and offering, you know, friendship, support, I think it just drives people deeper and deeper into that sort of corner.
Beautiful. Yeah, you are such an inspiration, I can't begin to tell you. In closing, what's your hope for the world that we're living in today?
I think, you know, we're living in an amazing time, and I really hope that we're at the precipice and on the dawn of a new era of respect for women. And, you know, seeing that violence only, you know, creates more violence. And I think that we're living in a time where, you know, a lot of people are passing, new people are coming, being born, you know, arriving. And it's just what I'm reminded, I have a friend who was a producer. He's from Paris, and he used to always remind me that, like, nothing is new. You know, everything that's happening, like, human beings have been going through this since the beginning. Like, it's all a variation of the same theme of going from unity to disconnection and trying to reconnect, reintegrating with the truth that everything in nature is connected. Mm-hmm. And we're all on that same journey. We're all circling the same star shining in the sky. And, you know, we're all, you know, sharing the same air. And my prayer moving forward is that we can find a way to heal the ocean. You know, we could find a way to clean the air. We can find a way to bring down some of the inflammatory sort of language that's got everybody going into their own corner, feeling like they have the idea of an enemy is kind of, it's a fabrication for ulterior motive. You know, I think the Buddha says the only real enemy is our own mind. And in the Bhagavad Gita it says that when we develop a personal practice, that enemy becomes our greatest ally. So, you know, my hope is that, you know, we continue to evolve toward more love.
That's what I loved about your track. Any plans, any events coming up? Are you on a tour?
Right now, we're doing a book tour, and I think we did something like 60 cities this year and next year.
Wow.
I'm just trying to work new music and just really excited to share some new songs with people and share my evolution, you know, the things that I've been really learning along the way, and I look forward to more people enjoying the book.
Well, if you ever come to Washington again, I know you were here last year in October, please visit us at the meditation.
Too.
Yeah, come by the Meditation Museum. We'll do a book signing with you and have a deeper conversation. I'd love that. Give my love and good wishes to your beautiful wife and lots of blessings for all
that
you do.
So
yeah, thank you for the gift you offer our humanity.
Hey, and by the way, my wife Amanda painted a beautiful 10,000 Buddha mural in D.C. Right across the street from Whole Foods. Do you remember what that street is?
Is that the Whole Foods by Silver Spring?
14th in P Street.
Oh, I love that. I'll have to go see that. Wow.
Yeah, go check it out. She did that. And then, you know, we were there for the Women's March. And, man, we've had some incredible, incredible experiences in D.C. There's so many good people in Washington. Sometimes
so
you forget. Like, you think just about the politicians, but there's so many good people in D.C.
Totally agree with you. That's why I'm still here.
Right on.
All right. Take care, my brother. Om Shanti and lots of good wishes.
Namaste.
Bye-bye. What a delightful young man. Did you hear the energy and the spirit of his conversation? This is what I want to keep having conversations more of, individuals who are really raising the bar of consciousness through their talents. It doesn't mean you have to come from a perfectly well-designed beginning in your life. You could come from broken pieces, but what you do with them, I think, is the real story. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with MC Yogi, and if you'd like some more information on him, just go to his website, mcyogi.com. Don't forget his new book, Spiritual Graffiti, Finding My True Path. I think it's definitely a good read for all. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we are here to love each other the same. So let's do that, everyone. Let us really begin to hold on to that which we know is true and good, and let's not be distracted by all the stuff that we are bombarded with in the media all the time. Choose what you wish to watch and listen to so that your spirit can keep moving towards more truth and empowerment. Here's I Rise from Inclusion Revolution, Together with Love. Take care, everyone. I rise above. I'm the master of my own mind. I sit here with a pure intention to gain mastery over my thoughts and therefore mastery over my words and actions. As I hear the thoughts through words of others, I ask myself, is that my truth? My original nature is one of love, peace, purity, truth, and joy. And sometimes when I hear the words that do not match my original nature, I have the choice to rise above and remember who I really am. As a master of my mind, I decide which thoughts stay and which thoughts must go. I choose to rise above. As I rise above in consciousness and interpretations of stories, narratives that no longer support my truth or present, greater power, greater peace, and acceptance for myself and others surrounds me in this moment. As a master of my mind, I rise above, replacing thoughts of fear, anger, greed, and divide. Thoughts of belonging, respect, love, and wisdom. As I rise above, I find clarity, a deeper meaning, and the courage to continue to move on. I rise above, and I remember who I am and why I'm here, and that is to love everyone the same. Let me sit in the state of being above.